than this. I believe that. Praise God. I believe heaven's going to be better than this. Amen. You don't have to stand for reading because I'm going to do a long reading today. And but I want to preach for the next few moments on the subject, finding mercy in the midst of misery. Finding mercy in the midst of misery. I do want to say it's good to see everybody here. Thank you. And we're glad you're here today. Good to have Joel. And is it Mosef? Is that right? Okay. I'll get it right. I'll keep working until I do. Glad you're here. God bless you. Glad everybody's here. We appreciate you coming, being with us today. Amen. And we're going to study today about finding mercy in the midst of misery. I'm going to be reading today from the third chapter of the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, it's a word that means loud cries. And if you've ever read Lamentations, that's what it is. It's meant to be a book that talks about misery because it talks about a miserable time in the history of Israel. There are horrible things that are happening in this book. And the author is living through it. He's there. As a matter of fact, the prophet Jeremiah, by this time, had already been prophesying for about 5 decades. For over 40 years, he had been preaching, this is coming. This is coming. This is coming. If you don't repent, this is coming. And they laughed, and they scoffed, and they mocked, and they disregarded, and they persecuted, and they threw him in a pit. He said, it's just, we don't believe that. That's old-fashioned. Amen. I'm telling you today, even in America, people don't want to hear truth anymore. Amen. I'm not a negative person, believe it or not. But things that are going on, folks, I'm just sorry. There's a lot of negative stuff happening. And I know where it's headed. And I know what it's bringing on the nation. And so we can't be silent. We have to talk about it. Amen. Hey, but I'm telling you, in the middle of the misery, there is some mercy. Praise God. I'm telling you that there's peace in the midst of the storm. And in the time of our trouble, there is a place where we can triumph. Amen. And victory, victory shall be mine. Hallelujah. One way or the other, victory is assured. Amen. And so it was for Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was in Israel at the time, better said, the southern portion called Judah. He was there at the time of their judgment. In 586 B.C., the Babylonian kingdom came against Israel, besieged the city of Jerusalem, and cast their army round about. And there was famine in the city. People were literally starving to death. Now, we may have been in some lean times, but I've never been in a time when there literally was just nothing whatsoever to eat. But Israel was in that kind of a condition where food was just scarce and at times non-existent. It was a time that the king and his army had fled and left the people to just survive on their own. When the armies broke through, they burned the palace and the temple and the principal buildings of the city. And they tore down walls and they plowed over the city and they salted the soil and they put all of the populace in exile. And they executed the principal leaders. And he was a witness to all of this. He was surrounded day after day by the weeping and the stench of the fire and the decay and the ruin of war. And it was all that he could see. And it was miserable everywhere that he looked. Let me read just a portion. I don't want to get too far into this because I'm going to, believe me, in a minute we're going to lift this thing up a little bit. So don't get too miserable. But it was miserable. Third chapter, look a little bit of this here. Let me read it to you. 3:1, it said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is he turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old, he hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about and I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He turneth aside my ways and pulleth me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his arrow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness and hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. As thou hast removed my soul far from peace, I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now, is that miserable enough? Or shall I read on? Anybody getting the picture here? It's a bad day. Been a whole bunch of bad days. It's been a bad 50 years. Amen. Jeremiah was the one that preached for 40 years, never had a convert. That's tough. Amen. Preaching. Nobody believed it till he finally said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I've had enough. And then he stood it for a little bit and he said, I cannot forbear. He said, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. And he got up and started preaching again. He couldn't help himself. There's just something compassed him and consumed him. And he had to tell the message, even if it wasn't popular or what people wanted to hear. Verse 19, he said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21, it changes. He said, then I recall to my mind, therefore have I have hope. You see, he suddenly remembered something. Something dawned on him. Amen. Instead of looking around at the misery that surrounded him that he had prophesied was going to come, this is exactly what he had been talking about for about 50 years. And now it had materialized and he was not only a witness of it, he was a part of it. He was right in the middle of it. And he saw all the things that God said was going to happen if things didn't change. And in the middle of all of that misery, suddenly he remembers some things. Let's look at his memory. He said, verse number 22, he said, here's my hope. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. I'm telling you, the only reason we're here today is because God's merciful. Amen. You and I, if you and I had been in charge, we would have destroyed this mess a long time ago. Yeah, we would. I know human beings. I've lived with them. I am one. And I know how short our patience is. When people do things that offend you day after day after day after day after day, and when people insult you, And disparage you and do everything they can to tear you down and to destroy you. Amen. And you have the power to do something about it. I don't know of a human being that would not. I do not know not one person, Brother Fry, that would put up with what God's put up with. His name is cursed every day. Amen. People shake their fist in his face. And they try to teach themselves and their children. And they try to tear down his ways of righteousness and purity that he built the human family and the human race upon. And they try to destroy his word and twist his word and despise his sayings and change his ways. And they do it day after day. And they twist everything that he said and make his truth into a lie, and yet God permits that. God forbears. There's only one reason that God would do that, and that's because of his mercies. Amen. I'm glad God's in charge of this thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I wouldn't even have put up with Johnny Grissom very long. Thank God he has. Amen. He's been putting up with me for 61 years, and I'm so very thankful for that today. Amen. I wouldn't have put up with me this long, Brother Fry. Sure wouldn't have put up with Brother Fry this long. Amen. Sister Hattie's going to get a special crown when she gets to heaven. Amen. Brother Fry might get one too. Who knows? Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm just telling you today, God is merciful. Amen. He is so merciful. We read in our Sunday school lesson, the reason, amen, that he hasn't brought judgment is because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for people somehow to wake up and turn around, amen, in the midst of their misery to find his mercy. The scripture says so beautifully, it said in his compassions, they fail not. Amen. His compassions fail not. Amen. God doesn't run out of mercy. He doesn't. Amen. The psalm said his mercy endureth forever. Amen. God doesn't run out of mercy. But sometimes God has to send judgment. Amen. I know people love mercy. I love mercy. I do. I try to be a merciful person. I love mercy. Amen. I thank God for mercy. We all need mercy. And we all love judgment when it's not against us. David the king, when Nathan the prophet came and told him the horrific story of a shepherd, he said there was a shepherd that had just one sheep, and there was a wealthy man that had a guest, and he came and took that one sheep that shepherd loved. And he slew that lamb and made it a meal for that the guest that he had, rather than kill one of his own lambs. David the king, who had been the shepherd, rose up in anger from his throne and said, "Tell me, who is the man? He will pay." And the prophet said, "David, you're the man." And suddenly the king that wanted justice fell to his knees and begged for mercy, because he knew he was the man. And isn't it amazing how that we want to be hard on other people, but we want other people to be gentle with us? Let me say that again. How we want to be harsh and hard with others, but we want them to be gentle with us. Amen. God help us today to understand mercy. Praise the Lord. But even God reaches a time, even in mercy, it's only mercy that God sends judgment. Amen. Sometimes mercy has to be harsh. If you have a cancer in your body today, the only way to spare your body and your life may be to cut it out. And it hurts. And it's painful. And it's drastic. And it's radical. But in order to save the whole, we have to lose a part. That's what God does sometimes in judgment. In order to save the whole, in order to save his people, in order to save his creation, he sends a judgment upon a part. And he cuts it out and he cuts it off and people wail and accuse God. How could you be so cruel and unjust? Because he sees the end from the beginning and he realizes the only way to save the good is to diminish and destroy the bad. God understands that. And he's big enough to do it. Amen. I think one of the things I find so sad in our current culture is how much of a nanny state we've become. Amen. Wanting to protect everybody and everything. And when you do that, you lose all of your liberty and all of your rights in the name of protection. It's an interesting day that we live in. It's an interesting day. Amen. It's an interesting time. And that has brought us to this place. I personally believe that these are end times. I think God's getting ready to wrap this whole thing up. Amen. I'm not going to give you a day or an hour, but I really believe that we are in an end time. And God's quickly bringing all of this to a close. He's moving nations and leaders around like pawns on a board, getting ready to wrap this thing up. Amen. And for the church, this is our greatest hour. I said for the church, this is our greatest hour. God's compassions never fail. Amen. He's always a compassionate God. Amen. You have to understand love for what it really is. You know, love does not love that which is trying to destroy the object of its affection. If something comes against what I love, I will fight against that thing. Amen. Something comes against my family, I will do my best to destroy what is trying to destroy my family. That's what love does. I said, that's what love does. Love protects its own. Amen. And so God protects his own. And that's his mercy. That's his compassion. Amen. Praise God. So sometimes God destroys things and destroys others and destroys people that come against the object of his love and his desire and his design. Amen. Praise God. His compassions fail not. I love this. The Bible says, but they're new every morning. Hallelujah. Every day it's new. Every day mercy is new. Every day compassion is new. Amen. That's why we're still here. That's why we're not consumed. God gives you a new day every day. Amen. God sends, and you've ever lived close to the coast, God sends the high tide in and he goes up on the old beach and he cleanses it, all the debris that's there, and he gathers it up and he washes it out to the sea. Amen. And he cleanses. That's God's mercy rises and it comes in and it cleanses and it gives you a new day and a new opportunity. And no matter what kind of misery may be going on in your life right now, mercy will come in. And if you will allow it to, it will give you a fresh perspective. Amen. And you'll find compassion and you can find mercy every day because his mercies are new every morning. Thank God for mercy today. Hallelujah. Thank God for compassion today. Amen. And then Jeremiah says, great is your faithfulness. I'm glad God is faithful. That simply means that you can have faith in him. He will not fail you. He'll always be what he said he would be. If you think God ever failed you, it's because you did not understand God. And you tried to make God something that he is not. Because God never changes and God never fails. Ever. He's always the same. Yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. Even I encourage you to get to know him today. Dig in the Word of the Lord. Understand who God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're disappointed today, go back and look again. Find out who He is. Amen. Do not make God in your image. God made you in His image. I know a lot of folks try to make God in their image. They try to make God who they want Him to be. Amen. Somebody make him a smother mother. Amen. He's not a smother mother. And He's not a sugar daddy. Amen. Some people treat God like a Las Vegas slot machine. All you got to do is just put in a prayer and pull a handle. Woo, down comes blessing. God's not like that. Amen. God has requirements. God has prerequisites. God has a will. God has a design. God has given commands. Amen. And if we live in that walk with Him and we have that relationship with Him, we will receive blessing from Him. Amen. But don't you think that you can make God conform to your will. If you can, you're not serving the God that I know. Praise that. I'm glad my God's a strong God. My God's a powerful God. My God's a God of righteousness and a God of truth and a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of power and might. And I do not bend Him to my will, but I conform to His will. Praise God. He's faithful. Hallelujah. How could He be faithful if you could change Him every day to become what you want Him to be? Praise. I think one of the greatest mistakes that I see in modern culture is people have no understanding of who God is. Amen. A lot of churches don't understand who God is. Praise the Lord. Amen. A lot of ministers don't know who God is. Some of them are... Amen. They're making a profit off of them. You know, Jesus was a prophet, and they think that they can make a profit. Amen. That's right. There are people just, that's all they're doing. They're preaching the gospel because it makes them money. They have found a new product that they can hawk and profit by. Amen. You know what's interesting about that? They're using God, and one of these days God's going to say, I used you. Amen. Here you are out there using me. He said, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But some of these that you reached with my gospel, amen, you were prostituting yourself for a profit and all that, but look, you won some people along the way, and these are mine. I don't know who you are. Amen. These folks that I healed under your ministry, I know who they are, but I don't know who you are. Amen. You don't use God. Praise the Lord. The Lord may use us, but we will not use Him. He works all things. I'm talking about the kind of God that's real here today. He's genuine, and He's faithful. Amen. That's the thing you can depend on. What God is, God will always be. Amen. If you can find out what He is and who He is, you can depend on that today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. He's not going to change. Amen. His goodness, He's faithful. He's faithful. And finally, Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. Amen. He's my portion. What's your portion? The Lord is my portion. Praise God. When it comes to bank accounts, my portion is not very big. Amen. When it comes to beauty, my portion is not very big. Amen. When it comes to popularity, my portion is not very big. When it comes to notoriety and fame, my portion is not very big. When it comes to fortune, my portion's not very big. Amen. But when it comes to God, I got a great portion because the Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. If you can understand that today, you're not going to worry about what life brings your way because the Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. Every day, He's my inheritance. Hallelujah. And the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. The Lord is my portion. And he said, no matter what the misery is around here, I'm glad Jerusalem wasn't his portion because Jerusalem just went down. I'm glad the temple wasn't his portion because it just burned. I'm glad the palace wasn't his portion because it just went down. I'm glad the banks were not his portion because they've all been destroyed. I'm glad the government wasn't his portion because it's in disarray and been disassembled and been destroyed. Amen. But the Lord is his portion. It's there every morning. Hallelujah. It's there every day. The Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In misery, you can say, the Lord is my portion, and you'll find hope. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. There's nothing in the world that's better than when they're pushing you down the hall of the hospital on that gurney, and you're going into an operating room, and you don't know for sure if you're going to come out of there. Now, I know doctors are good at what they do, and for the most part, folks come out, but not always. They do make mistakes, you know. And so anytime you go in there and they knock you out and they work on you for a few hours, and especially when they start messing with your heart, that's pretty important, you know. You can't live without that little buddy. It's got to be working right. And if they got to stop it and start it, it's really scary. What if it don't start? You're in trouble. And so they're rolling you in there. And you know what? When you can have peace that passes understanding, there's nothing in the world like that. When you have no fear, but you know God's with me, it's going to be all right. Because the Lord's my portion. Amen. If I make it out of there, that's okay. If I don't, still okay. Because the Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. If everything else falls apart in life, and you can say, the Lord is my portion, you can go on. Your hope is in him. And so no matter how dire or how miserable life becomes, and yes, it can get that way, but nonetheless, as long as you know the Lord is my portion, I have hope in him. I'm going to make it through all this. Amen. Everybody say, finding mercy in the midst of misery. Amen. If you live long enough, you're going to have some misery in your life. If you live long enough, you're going to have some genuine trouble in your life. If you live long enough, you're going to walk through some dark valleys in your life. Amen. But I promise you, if you'll walk with the Lord and he's your portion, that hope will never die. You'll have a song in the night. Praise God. You'll have peace in the valley. Amen. I'm talking about something I know about here today. I've walked this path, and I have found the Lord to be faithful and never fail. Let's stand together today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I believe it was the Apostle Paul, a man that was acquainted with misery. He had been through a lot. You know what he said? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And I'm telling you, when he said that, he had a whole lot against him. Praise the Lord. But he was determined, hey, God's for me. Nothing is going to defeat me. Praise the Lord. Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin that day and then later stood before Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have power over your life? Jesus said, you have no power over me, but what my Father gives you. In other words, he said, until God says it's enough, it ain't enough. Until he says it's over, it ain't over. Amen. Fat lady or no fat lady, she can sing all she wants. But until God says it's over, it ain't over. Praise, only God determines when it's all said and done. Only God determines when it's said and done. Amen. I live with that confidence. How about you? Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to have that? That if God's for us, who's going to be against us? Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. In the middle of mercy, in the middle of misery, you'll find mercy. If you just look, it's going to be there. Because His mercy is fresh every day. Every day. As soon as you get up in the morning, you need to pick up mercy. You say, this is mercy. It's fresh for today. This was made especially for me this morning. It can't get any fresher than this. Amen. I'm going to cling to this mercy all the day long. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So if God be for us, and He is, and who can be against us? Praise the Lord. His mercies. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Amen. You know what your day and what your life is like. You know whether it's night. You know if there's misery. I'm encouraging today to reach for mercy. Call on the Lord. Call on His name. And in the midst of it, find mercy. Find strength to help in the time of need. That's what God promised. And that's what you can receive today. He's faithful. Amen. I want to open this altar for prayer. If somebody wants to pray today, you may have sunshine in your life. Maybe you didn't experience anything this week and things are going well. But there may be somebody here that it's darkness and it's trouble and actual misery. You're just kind of barely hanging on. Amen. I'd like to invite you today. We'll be happy to come pray with you. Amen. Help you to find that place. Help you to find the Lord in a new measure, in a deeper way. Praise God. I invite you now. If you want to come, please do. Don't let anything hold you back. Amen. You can leave here with peace. You can leave here walking in light and experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to come today. One more time as we sing this song. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus came. Lord God, we thank you today for your faithfulness, unchanging, every day the same, but in the same time, your goodness and your purity and your righteousness and your perfection and your peace and your love. I thank you today for all that you are, and I'm so very, very glad that you're what is good and what makes life right and perfect. It's what we find in you. You're always there, as close as the mention of your name, just there for us to reach and to claim. I thank you for being good, and thank you for being my God. I give you all praise. Go with us from this place and guard us. Guide our footsteps every day. Amen. Bless our service in Canton. Bless our service tonight here again as we gather in the evening time. Thank you for everybody that came. I ask you to put a special blessing upon their life. Let them take this word as a promise from this place, and in their misery, help them to find mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Those that join us at Canton, we'll see you at 1:20. Amen. And remember, 5:30 for prayer this evening. And we'll have service again at 6. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.